This is Hemant.
And Jessica.
And you're listening to the Friendly Atheist Podcast. Please go to patreon.com/friendlyatheistpodcast to support this show. We just got new equipment.
Oh, boy.
So we
do
need,
we sound
we need your help.
Beautiful. There's an air filter on us, and he said it makes us sound more contemporary.
Little did he know we never sound great. All right, there is
patreon.com/friendlyatheistpodcast. We just had to buy a new, what is this thing?
Sound mixer guy.
It's a nightmare.
Because we were off last week, I have literally a whole page of stories.
Oh my God, we've already spent 2 hours together.
I know. But we are going to start this week. I figured I will start with something, you know, light. It's not.
Christ.
I wanted to share with you a sermon that this Christian pastor gave. His name is Josh Howerton. He leads Lake Point Church, which is a mega church in Texas, in Rockwall, Texas. Mm-hmm. And he actually delivered this at the end of February. But the reason it was in social media circles this week is because a portion of it was clipped and shared, and everyone's like, what the hell did this guy just say?
Oh boy.
Let me give you a little bit of background, and then I will play this sermon for you, or a segment of it. And I need to tell you that this guy was talking about, it was the opening minutes of his Sunday sermon, and he was basically saying, you know, we just held in our church an event called Marriage Night, where people were talking about how you strengthen your marriage and, okay, fine, whatever.
Okay.
And he's like, you know, if you missed it, you know, people were asking me if I couldn't make it. What did you all talk about?
Right.
Can you tell me? And he's like, well, I can't tell you everything because you had to be there, but I will share with you a quick piece of advice. He actually called it a gold nugget of advice, so you know it was good.
Gold nugget
of advice. And this is to everyone in the congregation who is on the path toward marriage, okay?
Okay. There are two parts. Instead of listening, I'm going to try to think of a fool's gold joke.
Sure.
Good
luck with that.
I'll see you in a couple minutes.
It's a long clip, but it's basically broken up into two halves. The first part is the setup. The second half is the punchline.
Sure.
You can comment during. tell me what you think. Here's Josh Howerton.
This is a gold nugget of advice I was given by a mentor.
Fool's gold.
Okay, so this is free. Are y'all? Can y'all handle it? Okay, this is free. This is free. Okay,
it's free.
Now, first, let me do this. So let me talk to the guys first, guys.
Uh-oh.
When it comes to her wedding day, she has been planning this day her entire life.
Haven't.
She got her first like wedding magazine when she was 14.
Incorrect.
She draped the blanket around her like it was her wedding dress when
I
she was a
that.
Teenager. She did the towel Pillow over case. Her head. It was a little veil. All
Pillow
the stuff.
Case.
She's been planning this day her whole life. So here's what she need to do, man. When it comes to that day, just stand where she tells you to stand, wear what she tells you to wear, and do what she tells you to do. You'll make her the happiest woman in the world. Okay? Now,
okay.
I got an amen.
What does that mean?
Let's see if you amen
like
this.
Like sexually?
So that part right there.
Does he mean sexually, or does he mean the wedding ceremony?
Wedding ceremony, the wedding day, he said. She's been, when it comes to her wedding day, she's been planning forever. So when it comes to that day, and this is important, stand where she tells you to stand, wear what she tells you to wear, do what she tells you to do. And honestly, that's, okay, fine.
Yeah, that feels like very straight ahead boomer energy.
Right.
It's yucky, but much less yucky than what I feel like is about to come next.
Yeah, that's right. Because that was the setup, and the audience applauded.
We have setup punchline.
The audience applauded what he just said. Mm-hmm. Guys, don't ruin this day for her. And then comes the thing he's been waiting to say that you know he's very excited about. Here you go.
I'm scared.
Now, ladies. When it comes to his wedding night,
no.
He has been planning this day his whole life. So just stand where he tells you to stand, wear what he tells you to wear, and do what he tells you to do, and you're going to make him the happiest man in the world.
He could barely get through
That's it,
his
man.
Own
okay.
joke.
That was free. That was free.
Seriously, folks.
Acts chapter 1, we will begin. So that's the joke, in big quotation marks. That's what's known in white evangelical circles as humor, and known outside evangelical circles as the reason we no longer go to church.
here's the thing, is this is a joke my father might have told in 1987. You know what I mean? Like, this isn't... first of all, they haven't invented a new joke since they discovered attack helicopters. Like, yeah, dog, we know you don't like women and only see us as sexual objects. And we know you think all we do is plan pretty dresses. Like, I know that you think women are just like a hollow shell that you can project yourself on, That's not new, but yeah, dog, like, it's 2024. I think we're done with the I hate my wife shit because divorce is, oh, it's so easy now.
So in order for that joke, in big quote marks, to make any sense, talk about, think about what has to be assumed here. We're assuming the husband-to-be has zero say in the wedding and doesn't want any. Just show up and look nice, and that's all you
need to do.
It's all about her. Not only does she have to take on then all the responsibility of a very stressful day. The guy has no say because, of course, this doesn't matter to him.
No.
He's never been thinking about a wedding day.
It's his bachelor party and he gets to go see boobies.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's her wedding day.
Did you
it's
have
all
a bachelor
about
party?
No, I don't have friends.
Yeah.
Second thing,
sense.
He's assuming both people getting married are virgins.
Are virgins,
which
for sure.
Has to
and
be.
Not just virgins, but like, sexually inexperienced. Can you say, does he tell the woman to stand still or just stand where she wants
stand
him to?
Stand where he tells you to stand.
Okay, that's better than just stand still. That's that was what was in my head.
It's a very exciting wedding night.
I mean, can you imagine?
He is assuming the bride-to-be has no ambition in life other than getting married because that's all she's dreamed about. She's never dreamed about having a job.
Right.
Doing anything else in her life.
No, we have tiny brains. We can only think about big white dresses.
And then, more importantly, the woman must do whatever her husband wants in the bedroom, and her own pleasure is at best an afterthought.
Not even.
It's not a consideration. By the way, they are both virgins in this hypothetical scenario, and yet he apparently knows exactly what he wants her to do.
Well, it's not like he's been watching porn or anything,
no,
so how
never.
Could he know what
not without
was
Mike Johnson
happen?
Finding
thought,
out about
I
it.
I thought it was. I thought it was like, usually when okay, first of all, let's put it to bed that like this is clearly a joke and it's a bad joke and it's a stupid joke.
Correct.
Like
this I'm
is
not saying this guy's
this is
condoning
not his
sexual
literal
abuse.
Opinion.
He's
but it is
he
just
thinks
so
it's funny.
Oh my god, this is hysterical to this guy. I mean,
so I'm sure that marriage night event was a great.
I mean, okay, here's
great
the
experience
thing, though,
for everyone.
Usually, at least the Christians talk about like the ones who say you have to save yourself for marriage. They talk about like, oh, that first night you're together and discovering things and blah blah blah. Like it's going to be fucking terrible. As anyone who's ever like made out with a teenager as a teenager, it's not going to be good.
Yeah,
you're going to have marks that you have to explain the next day. sorry.
If you're doing it right,
but just. It's just so, I'm actually surprised this went viral. Like, honestly, the more I'm laying with it, the more I'm like, yeah, this is nothing new.
It's not new. It went viral because it's like, dude, think about what you are saying here. Think about what it tells the women in your congregation. That's why it went viral. Because people are like, exactly what your reaction was. Why do you think this is funny exactly?
Yeah. Here's what I will also point out. Like, over the last couple of years, Mikey and I have been, as everybody is, rewatching old sitcoms that are whatever. He's watching How I Met Your Mother right now, and it doesn't feel that old, right? It came out when I was in college, which was so long ago, but it's still, you know, that old people thing of everything feels new. But some of the anti-woman humor is upsetting and not cool, and it's only a decade old or 15 years old. Like, I think for all intents and purposes, we should assume that anybody in this bubble has the same sort of understanding of sexuality and women as I don't know, the
jokes
the
don't
blue collar
age well.
Comedy tour, you know what I mean? Like, that's the level I'm assuming they're doing at, and just the rest of us are like, oh, it's weird to hate the person that you're spending your entire life with, that whom you picked.
Right,
it's
right,
very
right.
strange to go home and say, my wife is such a bitch, I hate her. She raises my kids and makes me dinner. And then she doesn't even want to give me a BJ and her best teddy. What a bitch. Like, it truly is this.
That's every stand-up in the 80s.
Exactly.
And like half of them now.
I mean, did you hear Jim Brewer is like, oh, white guys can't get Netflix specials anymore. Like, hi, John Mulaney is calling me, and he's saying you're full of shit.
I want to point out this.
John Mulaney's had like 17 comedy specials in the last 3 months.
This pastor is like, it's her wedding day, but it's his wedding night.
Yeah,
he pointed that out.
Again, this is all the same shit we were raised with.
It implies, by the way, also that the couple has to have sex after the wedding, which I need to remind people who have gone through weddings, it is a stressful and exhausting day.
It really is. Hemant's family did a skit.
Oh, God, yes.
Do you remember?
True. I tried to block that out of my head.
Not me.
But there's, like, no room in this joke, obviously, for couples who are not straight either.
Yeah.
But that last one, the reason it went viral, as many Christian women and formerly Christian women pointed out, like, this is the sort of mentality that perpetuates spousal abuse within evangelical circles.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same idea. Remember Paige Patterson? He's the Southern Baptist leader once upon a time. We talked about him years ago because there was an old sermon of his that went viral where he basically told women who were physically and sexually abused that they should just pray and stay and, quote, be submissive in every way that you can. He also told women divorce was never an option. And he said in the same speech, I'm going to quote this here. This is from Paige Patterson. There's a bright side to marital abuse.
I'd love to hear it. To marital abuse.
Yes, this is from a Washington Post article about him. He goes on to tell the story of a woman who came to him about abuse and how he counseled her to pray at night beside her bed quietly for God to intervene. The woman, he said, came to him later with two black eyes. She said, I hope you're happy. And I said, yes, I'm very happy. Because it turned out her husband had heard her quiet prayers and come for the first time to church the next day, he said. That's an actual thing Paige Patterson did. And again, Howerton, the guy that we were listening to, he didn't go that far. He was telling a stupid joke. But telling a woman to stand where her husband tells her to stand and do whatever he wants her to do implies that anything a husband says must be followed. She gets no say in the matter.
Yeah.
There's no such thing as consent there. Like, the bride in his joke is not allowed to say no. She's not allowed to chime in with what she wants in the bedroom. Her pleasure is irrelevant. It is also, again, implied she knows nothing about sex, so just do whatever your husband tells you to do, while her virgin husband is an expert. By the way, you know what the title of the sermon was?
No.
Am I going to heaven or hell?
Isn't that what all sermons
are? That is every sermon, but again,
I
feel like this guy's answering his own question with that joke.
I'm just skimming through some stats if anybody is curious. So 1 in 4 couples experience intimate partner violence. Men who attend church once a week or more were about 60% less likely to commit. I wonder if that's true. I'm going to keep looking.
Keep looking. That clip went viral after a Christian writer named Sheila Gregoire posted the second half of it, of that joke, of what his advice was to the women.
Yeah.
In a thread, she wrote, marital rape is not funny. Normalizing sexual coercion is not funny. Mm-hmm. Not caring at all about female pleasure is not funny. Eventually, Josh Howerton himself chimed in. This is what he wrote. The person who originally posted this, Sheila, that I just mentioned, took an old preacher joke about marriage, edited out the comment immediately before, aimed at men, the setup.
Yeah.
And then very conveniently ended the clip before it's made clear it's part of a joke. Buddy, we know what the joke was. Then they deceitfully presented it as my advice to women, where if all you saw was the quote or the clip they selectively edited, you don't know it was half of a joke, not advice.
It's not a joke.
I want to repeat, he called it a gold nugget.
A gold nugget.
So again, I'm telling you, I played for you the entire joke in context.
Uh-huh.
I promise you that does not make any of it better.
Right.
Sheila Gregoire also later posted the full clip, and obviously it didn't make anything better because it wasn't funny. We knew it was a joke, and if the joke is not funny, is the problem. And again, April Ajoy, who is a progressive Christian who has criticized church culture, she said to Baptist News Global, she explained why she found this disturbing. I was taught that it's the wife's job to please her husband even when she's not in the mood. I remember being a young girl at women's church events where the leaders would talk about the importance of wives putting out and how sex is something men need, and if that need wasn't met, husbands could look elsewhere. I was never once taught about female pleasure. It took me years into my own marriage and lots of therapy before I stopped objectifying myself and could actually enjoy intimacy in marriage. And so again, the problem isn't that this guy, this pastor, told a bad joke. It's that he created an environment in which jokes like that get laughs.
Right.
That's the problem for me. Like, it's very easy to connect the dots between a congregation that finds gender role humor from, like, whatever, the 80s, the 60s, name it.
Right.
They find that funny, and a congregation that looks the other way when it comes to sexual abuse. Because if I'm a woman in that church and my husband is abusing me, do you think I can go to a pastor like this and tell him about it?
Of
course not.
And nor would you. First of all, I want to just say, I've been trying to find statistics of like domestic abuse by religion, and Google has fucked. Like, it is done. I truly...
Google doesn't work well.
Every search thing I've tried to use keeps getting me abuse of Christian people. Like, are you fucking kidding me, Google? This also reminds me of a story I'm sure I've told many times. One of my good friends from college was Catholic. I don't know if she still is. She was one of my first friends who got married when we were in 23, 24. And after her wedding, she came to visit me, and my girlfriend lived in Chicago, and told us that she had to sign a contract saying she would never deny her husband sex.
Oh, a contract.
Cause they had to go to the like Christian counselor, or a Catholic counseling or whatever. Mm. She said, I'm going to say this again because I just want to get everybody. This is my friend, Emily. She has an MBA now. She's one of the smartest people I know. Very good tap dancer. In therapy with her 23-year-old husband, and the priest pulls out a contract that says, Emily, you will never deny your husband, Bob, not his name, sex, ever, which means she was essentially legally writing away, like, saying he can rape me whenever he wants, right? That's what that is. And she, I think, if nothing else, that kind of, I think she's pretty much done with Catholicism after that. Like,
that'll do it.
This, like, I'm sorry, can we, I feel like you're not understanding how fucked up this is. She went to a church, and they're like, here's a piece of paper that says that your husband can fuck you whenever he feels like it. Please sign this, or you cannot get married in the church where you grew up. And also, we're going to tell them why you can't get married in the church where you grew up.
On our website.
It makes me want to puke.
One lady on Twitter, she said she was a former church member at this guy's church. I haven't verified that, but she wrote this. I am thanking God for prompting us to leave prior to this sermon, so my two teenage daughters were not exposed to this spiritual abuse.
Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, and these things, these stupid jokes that we hear, that I heard growing up for sure, it's not nothing. Like, I understand it's just a joke, but when just a joke is coupled with people not taking you seriously because you have a uterus, or people aren't, like, these, when all you hear about yourself are jokes like this and get back in the kitchen and whatever, what do you think that does to a person? What do you think it does to a person that every time a guy wins a movie, he just gets two human woman trophies? Like, how am I supposed to feel about that as a 12-year-old girl watching whatever?
Yeah,
like,
I mean, the message they're sending to girls
so
in this
disgusting.
Church is disturbing.
And then they talk about how they worship women and protect them. And it's like, no, you don't even like women. You treat them as your, like...
property.
As your chattel, yeah. Yeah. Anyway...
Last weekend, I had my in-laws over, and we needed to make dinner in a crunch. Instead of ordering out, we did something even easier thanks to ButcherBox. We were able to grab just what we needed, and exactly how much we needed, from the freezer. After that, everything else was a breeze. You, too, can skip the grocery store knowing you have the food you trust and the food you chose in your freezer. I know that might sound strange coming from me since I'm vegetarian, but they have a high-quality veggie burger that I absolutely love. They have options for pescatarians, too. And if you eat everything, that's also okay. The food from ButcherBox is high quality, grass-fed, and free range. Have peace of mind knowing there are no antibiotics or added hormones. Sign up at butcherbox.com/friendly and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional $20 off. Choose salmon, chicken breast, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/friendly and use code FRIENDLY to choose your free for a year offer, plus get $20 off your first order. And with that, let's talk about Richard Dawkins.
No.
Because we have to go from...
Is he... Did he...
What did he
senses?
Do this time? No, he didn't come to his senses.
Hope.
Okay, here's the thing. Yeah. He was interviewed on Easter Sunday by a London-based radio station.
Because who doesn't want to hear from Richard Dawkins on Easter Sunday?
Well, they wanted to ask him, Christianity seems to have a diminishing role in public life. Surveys have basically attested to that. He's written about that. He's talked about that for years. I get why they would want to talk to him. And his response, part of it was, yeah, I don't have a problem with that because... Yeah, people are ditching their religious beliefs. Sure. That seems great. I saw a lot of headlines focusing on the wrong thing here. Here's what he said that everyone was flipping out about online that I don't think is a big deal.
Okay.
He says, I call myself a cultural Christian. I'm not a believer, but there's a distinction between being a believing Christian and being a cultural Christian. You know, I love hymns and Christmas carols, and I sort of feel at home in the Christian ethos. I feel that we are a Christian country in that sense. I would not be, I would not be happy if, for example, we lost all our cathedrals and our beautiful parish churches. I think it would matter if we substituted an alternative religion. That would be truly dreadful. So the headlines...
I'm so sorry. That feels like a really fine, cogent thought.
Yes.
It makes a lot of sense to me, and it speaks to me very specifically.
And that's not why we're talking about the story. The headlines were like, Richard Dawkins says he's a cultural Christian. It's
I say I'm a cultural Catholic all of the time.
That's the thing. And it's not even out of character for Dawkins, who, by the way, I found an article in 2007 that said the exact same stuff. He has been saying this forever. Like, yeah, gotcha, not to Dawkins, to everyone covering this like it's a story. He said this for a while. He grew up as a Christian. He likes the... Obviously, he disagrees with God. He doesn't believe in God. He doesn't like the supernatural elements of it. Doesn't believe in it for good reason. But he likes the cultural aspects. Okay, that's fine. Like you said, lots of people would agree
I
with
love
him.
Church choir.
There's nothing weird about that.
Yeah.
Here's the part that I don't think enough people paid attention to. He's getting mad because in a lot of places they are now like government officials, culturally, we are giving homage and respect to things like Ramadan, and that pisses him off.
Wait, what?
Yes.
What do you mean?
He's very upset, for example, that in the UK, here's the thing. The host of that radio show asked Dawkins to comment on the fact that church attendance is dropping, but she said there are, quote, 6,000 mosques across Europe under construction, and there are many more being planned. I looked that one up, by the way. Mm. That's not true. Even the right-wing Daily Mail said there are 6,000 mosques in Europe and more under construction, which is not what she said. By the way, there's 17,000 Catholic parishes in the United States by way of comparison.
Yeah, and
so, okay, fine, whatever. But the headline in the Daily Mail is how Ramadan is muscling out Easter all over Europe. And it said more Muslims in Europe are celebrating Ramadan and government officials are honoring that. Here's what they mean by that. And then you could chime in here. In London's Leicester Square, 30,000 lights were switched on to celebrate Ramadan and Eid. The mayor of London, Sadiq Khan, he was there for the switching on of the lights to launch those festivities to celebrate Ramadan. Windsor Castle with the royal family, they hosted a Ramadan event.
Okay.
Government officials in the U.S. regularly acknowledge important holidays of different religions. Joe Biden put out a statement honoring Ramadan. Mm-hmm. That's not weird. But this is the thing, Richard, hold on, Ray, put down your hand, I'm not done yet. Richard Dawkins is very upset about that, and he said, well, I must say I was slightly horrified to hear that Ramadan is being promoted instead. I do think that we are culturally a Christian country.
I mean, here's the thing. He lives in the UK. He's correct.
About?
Being a culturally Christian country.
Sure.
They literally have a state church. Like,
now,
you can't deny the Ramadan aspect of it.
Ramadan's
at a different time every year. It can't be edging out Easter because it's not going to be an Easter forever.
He's mad that people are celebrating it at all because he's like, why are government officials honoring Ramadan? And then this is the thing he said that made me most upset. This is a quote from Dawkins. Imagine the accent. If I had to choose between Christianity and Islam, I'd choose Christianity every single time. I mean, it seems to me to be a fundamentally decent religion in a way that I think Islam is not. Christianity, he's saying, is fundamentally decent. Islam, you know, with all the brown people, is not.
I mean,
God is a delusion, but some delusions are worse than others, apparently.
His racism and Islamophobia is getting in the way of his good sense because he's of all people, he knows that's not true. He knows that's not true.
Which and thing?
The thing that Christianity is more decent than Islam. He knows, guys. He knows he's not true. It's not true. He's trying to be provocative, or he's like losing his marbles a little bit, which, you know, this happens with older people. That's why we stop sticking microphones in their stupid
old faces.
Why does
he think one is better than the other? Because he's used to his Anglicanism. He's used to it. His
familiarity. The way I prefer English over French because I am comfortable when people speak English to me.
His familiarity with Christianity lets him cling to certain elements of the religion and declare them good. But when other people in other religions do the exact same thing, there's something wrong. Listen. And how dare we acknowledge that? A social scientist, Samuel Perry, wrote this in response. It's not about beliefs, but ethno-nationalism. And that's his problem with what Dawkins is saying. And by the way, this is not the first time Dawkins has said this either. He once wrote a tweet. This is from 2018, where it's a picture of him sitting in front of a church. And this is the total tweet. Listening to the lovely bells of Winchester, one of our great medieval cathedrals. So much nicer than the aggressive-sounding Allah Akbar. Or is that just my cultural upbringing? It is your cultural upbringing.
Well, I mean, you could have read that last sentence, gone back and read your first sentence, been like, oh, actually, this solves itself.
Did you read your own tweet? But also, what he's doing is taking a phrase that millions of Muslims say every day.
Oh, yeah.
And equating it with the way terrorists use it.
But also, bells versus people saying words is not the same.
It's not
apples. It would be like, I think Hail Mary full of grace is a prettier thing to say than the other. Like, it's nothing. I also don't think you're mad enough about the fact that nobody is acknowledging that Ramadan changes every year, so the fact that he's worried that it's edging out Easter is truly one of the most unhinged things I've ever heard.
Yeah, we'll get back to that in a second.
No, we're there now. I'm living there because I remember being in high school and Ramadan happened over like Thanksgiving, and I was like, this is bananas. Poor Muslims. And then I realized it moved every year because I'm a citizen of the world who kind of understands other cultures.
Yeah.
And I don't just say, hey, I had never heard of this thing until this year, and now it's near a thing I like, so that thing is bad, because that's how children act.
And we'll talk about that in a second. Like, it's one thing to say all religions are untrue. I agree. It also makes sense to call out extremists who profess a particular religion as harmful, which I also agree with. But, like, talk about cultural Christianity in the U.S., where red states run by conservative Christians want to impose their religion on all of us. Their culture, if you want to call it that, is a literal threat to the health and safety of women, LGBTQ people, and everyone else, if we're talking about guns and vaccines.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing fundamentally decent about it. Like, we're not talking about Christmas lights being their culture. Their culture is harmful. Mm-hmm. It just depends on which aspect of it you happen to like.
Yeah.
It's also true, by the way, that yes, extremists who invoke Islam have done horrible things. It is also true that there are countless believers, Islam and otherwise, who condemn acts done in the name of their faith. It is irresponsible to pretend that all believers are identical. Dawkins will treat Christianity with nuance in a way he never extends to other religions.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Peaceful believers deserve respect as people. and he has said that. Doesn't follow it.
Does he live in London? Do you know?
Close enough to it, maybe. Like, they're finally getting some in the sense that, yeah, it's kind of nice that government officials are acknowledging, oh, there's a lot of you who are Muslims. Yeah. So as government officials who go out of our way to say, oh, mm-hmm. hey, this is a meaningful time to some of you, yeah. let us acknowledge that.
The way places put up menorahs.
I've seen statements from the White House, not just Biden, but other people who have said, like, oh, it's a Hindu holiday. Let us celebrate that. It's mm-hmm. a Jain holiday. There's mm-hmm. like
14 of you, yeah, and two of them, like, are your parents.
And they have acknowledged that as well.
Yeah.
But that's what Dawkins is mad about. He mm-hmm. thinks honoring Islam in a ceremonial way, which is all that has been done, mm-hmm. just the same as they do with Christianity and Judaism and other major religions, is somehow a mistake. But celebrating aspects of Christianity is not just okay, but welcome.
And I, not to slippery slope us into oblivion, but, like, this is the seed that is planted and the tree that is grown is Anders Breivik killing 69 people. Like, Anders Breivik believed that his country was taken over by Islam when the reality was it was something in the neighborhood of 3%. Mm. He just happened to live in, I think, Oslo, and there is a larger percent of Muslims there. That's why I asked about Dawkins. Like, England is white as fuck, but London is really diverse because that's how cities work. But truly, like, this sort of negging is the worst way I could put it, but that's the only word my brain supplied to me. Negging, this sort of, like, underhanded dogging of Islam is this sort of thing that of, oh, he's not calling it bad inherently, just like, hey, is this... I'm just asking questions. Is this edging out us? And this is how
you get... Is this great replacement theory?
Truly. That's exactly what he thinks it is. And then you get Anders Breivik in his basement that he called his fart room on World of Warcraft or whatever. And then he goes out and kills people. Like, yeah. These people do not need any help committing violence from Richard Dawkins.
He also pointed out, he did say, sure, Christianity is a threat in the United States when it comes to science, education, abortion rights, things like
that.
But
not in the
UK. But then he added that in a place like Africa, where, quote, you have missionaries of both faiths operating.
Both?
Like Christianity and Islam. He declared himself on the side of Team Christian.
Wait.
Which is a weird-ass thing for Richard Dawkins to say. Like, well, you have Muslim missionaries, people trying to convert you into Islam. You have Christian missionaries in Africa.
There
are Muslims who want you to convert to Islam.
But, like, they go to Africa?
Know. Not the same way as Christian missionary.
Thing. Okay, so
they're very much
let's
Muslim.
Let's talk about
in
Christians
places.
in Africa.
Yeah.
Because they're, I believe,
they have
I don't know if I remember.
They have inflicted a lot of harm on the people.
The HIV virus? Does that sound familiar to you, HIV and AIDS? Because I do believe that one of the things that can prevent the transmission of a really deadly sexually transmitted disease is the use of condoms. And I do also believe that certain people who are Christian tell people you can't use condoms.
Catholic
and so,
Church, Mother Teresa,
and
all
so
that.
What's going to happen next? People are going to have
unprotected
sex.
We talked about that lady who was a Christian missionary who went to Africa. They did the whole docuseries on her.
What was that called?
I forgot. But she's like, I'm a nurse. I'm a doctor. I have no training, but let me take care of your sick instead of sending them to doctors who could actually help. Like, what do you mean you're on Team Christian when it comes to missionaries in Africa?
That's the thing. I've read at least a couple of his books. He knows these things. He's
he
not
should
stupid.
Know these things.
Unless he's in cognitive decline, he is now being completely intellectually dishonest with everybody, and therefore I think we shouldn't talk about him anymore.
No, we have to talk about him because what he says gets a lot of coverage. I saw so many headlines about
the world, not you and I. I know you.
No,
you
no. I mean, we as an atheist are going to be defined by things Dawkins says,
of course,
whether we like it or not. So that's why we talk about it. I'm just wanting to say, at a time when peaceful Muslims are being demonized mm-hmm. in the United States and the UK by people who equate them with zealots, Dawkins is not helping. He's adding fuel to the fire.
It is weird timing, isn't it? It doesn't feel like that's a big, like, bolstering point right now, is the anti-Islam. They're really into trans people now.
The fact that the mayor of London was there to celebrate Ramadan with a festival of lights of sorts, like... That's a nice thing. That's not a bad thing. It's nice to make people feel welcome in your city.
Yeah.
And he's treating that like, why would you celebrate Islam? It's like, dude, that is not the fight you want to be picking right now. But I guess it's nice to see him taking a detour from just picking on trans people all the time.
If you ever mention a, like, English mayor or governor or whatever. I only imagine Boris Johnson in that. Do you remember the Olympics when he was on that slingy thing?
Oh, yeah.
That's all. That's just what I think every mayor of London looks like all the time forever.
No, this guy's fine. The new guy.
Yeah.
He's cool? Fine. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Between coaching, dealing with kids, and immersing myself in the news, I regularly feel drained. My social battery is low. I sometimes say no to going out with people I like because I just don't have the energy. But if you know what's important to you, you can prioritize. And therapy can help you learn how to do that. Talking about what matters to you with a professional is such a useful way to understand yourself better so you can make the most of your time. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist who can help you make the most of your time, no matter where you're starting from. Whether you've been through something rough or just want an outsider's perspective on whatever you're going through, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and flexible enough for anyone's schedule. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/atheist today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/atheist. We didn't talk about this, even though it happened. It happened the last weekend, but we didn't talk about this yet. The Transgender Day of Visibility was on Sunday.
On Easter.
For 15 years. It's been on March 31st. And Easter, like Ramadan, changes dates depending on, I don't know, the position of the sun. Mm-hmm. But this year, they coincidentally were on the same day.
Yeah.
And Joe Biden...
Last year was on April Fool's, if I'm remembering right. I think that's right. That was pretty fun for us.
President Joe Biden issued a proclamation celebrating the Trans Day of Visibility, just as he did for the past 3 years. Mm-hmm. He said trans people are part of the fabric of our nation, that we need to work toward eliminating violence and discrimination based on gender identity. It was a very innocuous proclamation that has no political heft. It's not a law. It's just
a
thought.
It's not a law.
Right? Like, it's just a proclamation. But conservative Christians flipped the hell out.
Just this year, they have every...
I mean, they do every year. They always want to find some way to argue that Democrats hate Christians.
We do.
And the way they did it, for example, Donald Trump's national press secretary, she demanded an apology from Biden. She said this proclamation was part of a, quote, years-long assault on the Christian faith. Which makes no sense. Mike Johnson, Speaker of the House, he said banning sacred truth and tradition while at the same time proclaiming Easter Sunday as Transgender Day is outrageous and abhorrent.
I mean, Jesus did transition from dead to living.
He's three in one. He's a ghost. He's a god. He's whatever you want him to be. He has no pronouns.
I just... he's the original they. Yeah, this is stupid, and
again,
these people are stupid. That's
one,
all I
Biden
have to say.
Didn't pick the day. Two, it's a day that's been static for 15 years. Three, if you just looked it up, you would see it's a coincidence, but none of that matters.
Well, Google
because,
doesn't work anymore in their defense.
Yeah, that too. So that's part of it. Part of it is this is so obviously not like trans people or Joe Biden picked Easter to shove it in your face. Of course they didn't. And it's so easy to understand that.
If you want to understand that.
If you want to understand that. And this is the point to make, which is that these conservative Christians and Republicans, one and the same at this point, are just spreading a lie, even though it's not hard to know better.
Right.
And then
but that doesn't
on
get
top
them
of
elected.
That,
knowing better and coming at people with facts
they
and reason.
They know the people who vote for Republicans are so dumb that they could spread a lie like this and know that most of the people will never question any of it. And
dumb
that's the problem.
And also scared.
Yeah.
And like, it's so easy to stoke fear.
It's so easy to fall for this if you are a Republican voter. And by the way, conservative groups, very few, with rare exceptions, and there were some exceptions, but very few conservative groups went out of their way to correct the mistake, which I also found telling.
Yeah, it's interesting. And I will say white people have to be some of the most fearful people in history, right? Like, we have fled places. We have invaded places because they were too scary to us. Like, white people are a delicate race. And so anybody who's going to come threaten
us. You're scared of the sun.
I mean, God made us scared of the sun, Hammond.
In addition to that lie... Johnson and others also put out a different lie, saying that the White House has their Easter egg hunt like every year. And this year they banned Easter eggs that are that have a religious decoration on them.
Is that
and
true?
They said Biden implemented that rule. One, that is true. But
how long
two,
has that been true?
That has been true for 45 years. The American Egg Board, like a lobbying group for the big egg, they sponsored the event. They're like, no, that's been the rule. We don't want any controversy. So when we say you could design the eggs, we say don't bring politics into it, no religion into that's it. Just design a cute egg.
Absolutely outstanding.
And so it was also true when Trump was in the White House.
So good.
So some right-wing websites, like Breitbart, for example, I think, retracted their own article about this, saying it's based on a faulty premise, which, wow.
Breitbart?
I know. But
dang.
A lot of, most of the sites are like, yeah, we're still keeping the headline, because technically it's true that it's banned right now.
Oh,
but
God.
It obviously is not the whole truth, which is misleading. And again, it just tells you how conservative Christians and their political party work, which is we have a lie. We're going to use it to treat Democrats as anti-faith, even though you could cite hypocrisy. You could cite the fact that none of these people know how chronological time works.
Sure.
Franklin Graham, evangelist Franklin Graham, said Biden was using this Biden was using this opportunity to flaunt sin, to glorify sin, and to celebrate sin. Like all of these
this
hand
is
in hand.
So exhausting.
Remember, we talked about a Pew Research Center survey weeks ago that said 69% of Republicans don't believe Biden is religious.
It's
like they just want to believe just, their own lies.
Yeah, they're just living in their own little world for themselves.
And also, let's grant them the premise. Let's say trans people, with the help of Joe Biden, decided for the first time to declare the Trans Day Visibility on Easter. If that ruins your Easter,
yeah.
Maybe the problem is you and your faith.
Not to brag, I know a few trans people, and it's pretty easy not to think that they're ruining my life by existing. I gotta tell you, I have some trans friends. We have many trans listeners. I don't know. They seem pretty fine and don't seem to be trying to actively take over things. That said,
and
I
what is
been
that
to
problem?
Arkansas. I don't know what the trans people are doing down there. Maybe they're a mob.
Right.
Oh, I would be a part of that mob.
Easter 2025, by the way, will be held on 420.
Woo!
So that is also
smoke 'em if you got 'em, baby.
It's also Hitler's birthday.
Of course,
it's also
it's
the
my
anniversary
friend
of Columbine. You get to decide which of those controversies the right wants to choose.
It's my friend Vanessa's birthday too,
well,
which is
damn
how
damn you, Vanessa.
I know. Sorry, Vanessa.
By the way, the first night of Hanukkah this year is on Christmas. So
how dare they?
I know.
The Jews have been playing the long game. It's so dumb. Like, it's just so dumb. You know
and
what I mean? Like, what else are we supposed to say about these
we
people?
We can keep talking about how dumb they are, because the next thing I did not get to discuss with you last week because we were gone is that Trump is now selling his Bible to the dumbest
I do know this because I was listening to Getting Jefferson Right or Telling Jefferson Lies. I can't remember which is which, though.
It's the second
Warren
one.
Throckmorton. It's so good, but he literally just played the entire ad of Trump hawking his Bible. And this man has never been inside a square mile of a church. He is so illiterate when talking about the Bible. It's outstanding. Go ahead and tell me what
sure.
you're telling me.
So Trump put out, there was a video that was put out last week where Trump is hawking a God Bless the USA Bible
with
Lee Greenwood.
Woo.
And by the way, you know what? We talked about this in 2021. Do you know why we talked about
God
it back then?
The USA really low?
Probably.
All right.
In 2021, Lee Greenwood, the guy who wrote God Bless the USA, he was putting out this Bible, which it was on the 20th anniversary of 9/11. It was $50 at the time. And in that was included the lyrics to God Bless the USA, the text of the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence, the Pledge of Allegiance. And this is where it got controversial in 2021. Mm-hmm. It included the NIV translation of the Bible, which is basically an an easier to read. It makes sense in
New
English
International
version. Something like
I
that.
I think that's what it is.
It's a version of the Bible where if you read it, it reads like English.
I see.
Opposed to the old King James version, which is like thee and thou.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's more accessible.
The problem with using the NIV translation is that that is actually trademarked by Zondervan, which is a Christian publishing company. They're the ones who made that translation.
Of course, somebody has to translate. Yeah, of course.
Like, that translation is their property.
Yeah.
You cannot use it without giving them proper credit or whatever payment you need to do. And because of that, that project didn't get anywhere. And also, again, the fact that the merging at the time of the Bible with all this Christian nationalist stuff was problematic. So the thing is, that happened in 2021.
Oh, man.
It didn't get anywhere. Very few people bought this Bible for all the problems it had. And now, last week, Trump shows up. He is... Thank
Keep
you.
Going.
He is putting out this ad saying you should buy this Bible. It's the same version Lee Greenwood was trying to sell 3 years ago. The difference is, one, now Trump is hawking it instead of Lee Greenwood,
mm-hmm.
and two, they replaced the NIV translation with the King James Version, which is free for anyone to use, and it doesn't matter if it's readable, because
no one's reading it. They're putting it on their
shelf. And this time it's $60, not $50, because Trump
inflation.
Because Trump is getting a cut.
And I'll gladly stand
He said in the video, that three-minute promo ad that he plays.
It's so uncomfortable to listen to.
Speaking of which, when you sing, we have lost religion in our country. Trump says, all Americans, you cannot sing over. Trump says in the video, we've lost religion in our country. All Americans need a Bible in their home, and I have many. It's my favorite book.
My favorite book.
Christians are under siege. We must protect content that is pro-God. We love God, and we have to protect anything that is pro-God. Our founding fathers did a tremendous thing when they built America on Judeo-Christian values. Now that foundation is under attack, perhaps as never before.
Perhaps.
It's his favorite book.
His favorite book. He has many in his
house. Even though in 2015, when he was asked to share his favorite verse, he said he could not. It was a private matter. He could not share. He couldn't think of one.
Name Abbers.
Then they said, are you an Old Testament or a New Testament guy? He said, probably equal, because he doesn't know the difference.
No, of course he doesn't.
That was before the 2 Corinthians
gaffe. It is?
Yep.
Do you think anybody tried to sit him down and like say, hey, listen, like if somebody asks you your favorite Bible verse, like
here's a couple things. Here's the shortest one.
And he's
one.
Just like, nah. Yeah. Or do you think nobody bothered?
Nobody bothered.
You think?
Yep. Mm. And the fact that it's just Christian nationalism on steroids, that sort of thing. By the way, if you look at the website for this Bible, which I did,
I bet it has an FAQ
on it, and the questions include, is this Bible officially endorsed by President Trump? Yes, this is the only Bible endorsed by President Trump.
Okay.
The Bible also says,
There's
another question.
Oh, yeah?
What if my Bible has sticky pages? That's a real question on the website, because it's a problem that needed to be addressed.
What are you saying to me right now? If it has sticky pages,
yeah.
Is number 2 after did Trump endorse this?
I think it's actually number 6 on the FAQ, but it's the only one that matters.
Sure.
And it said, no worries. This is very common with new Bibles that have gold gilding around the edges of the paper. Don't worry, for your convenience, we have provided links to a YouTube video that does a wonderful job of explaining how to break your new Bible in.
And then never touch it again. How many people do you think literally never opened the Bible and so never even noticed that like the pages stick together?
No
and
kidding.
Is that 95%?
But the thing is, like, Trump is slapping his name on this thing. It says on there, the website says that this Bible uses Donald J. Trump's name, likeness, and image under paid license from a company that is like his licensing company.
So this is Trump Stakes and Trump University all over, but it's Trump.
Basically, remember a few weeks ago he came out with like gold-plated sneakers?
No.
He came out with ugly gold sneakers, and it was the same licensing company that slapped his name on there. Nope, it's a thing that happened.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep, it's a real thing. And again, if you think that that guy is in any way compatible with the main character of your favorite book, good luck trying to get the people who live in reality to accept your beliefs. Because again, what they are doing, it's not just that you have to be an idiot to buy this book for legitimate reasons. It's that the people who are buying this, they have taken whatever thoughts they had about why should people be a Christian? Mm. Like, let me sell you on my faith. Let me teach you about the gospel, the Sermon on the Mount. None of it matters.
Who cares?
It is 100% a Trump religion.
That's old Christianity.
That is their
religion
now.
This is
new
Christianity.
Yeah. I assume that's a banjo because that's the only instrument that would make sense.
An electric guitar. Y'all ready for this? That would be a synthesizer, not an electric guitar.
That's a horrible song.
It was the only party song I could think of off the top of my head because I'm 1,000 years old.
Yes.
And my only reference polls are Jock Jams 1.
Came out in like 92 or something.
Yeah, when I was 7. That's where I knew learned all of my songs.
Let's talk
about... So I know all the words to Mickey.
Jesus. Let's talk about... Hey, there's an eclipse coming up on Monday.
There sure is.
Total eclipse.
I am bummed because we are not quite in the path of totality, but we're so close.
Which honestly is probably a good thing because everywhere that is in the path of totality is going to be insane on Monday.
I was in Bloomington last weekend and I was... you're going to make fun of me. This is the first world problem. Oh, we were in a place that was selling t-shirts and I just wanted to get something that said Bloomington on it. And they had these fucking dope solar eclipse shirts and they were so cool and I wanted one so bad. And I was like, that is not an okay thing to do. Of like, I was in Bloomington a week and a half before the eclipse. But yeah, everything is shut down. That, like, every business is, like, Monday, April, whatever. We're shut the fuck down.
Unless you're a hotel, in which case, good for you.
Don't leave your house.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's bonkers.
So 6 inmates are suing the New York Department of Corrections and Community Supervision. Basically, all the jails run by New York. They are saying that New York is keeping them locked up during the eclipse, like putting in a lockdown order between 2 p.m. and 5 p.m. on the Monday of the eclipse.
Why?
They say for safety reasons.
Are they afraid these guys are going to look at the sun?
They are afraid that it's going to be dark outside and we can't properly monitor you. So we're just going to keep you under lockdown like it's a holiday or an emergency day.
Is this a normal thing that happens? I don't know a lot about jails.
We'll talk about that.
Okay.
But they're saying by not letting us go out and witness the eclipse as it's happening, you're violating our religious freedom. And the funniest part about this, it's not even funny. The most interesting thing about this is that this whole lawsuit is being led by an atheist. So here's the story here.
Huh.
There are 6 plaintiffs. They're all incarcerated at Woodbourne Correctional Facility, which is managed by New York State. And they say in their lawsuit, the eclipse is a religious event that they must witness and reflect on to observe their faiths. And that includes the atheist. His name is Jeremy Zielinski, who says this event is a way to celebrate science and reason. Hmm. And according to the lawsuit,
that's fair.
It says... observing the eclipse is crucial to practicing his faith because, quote, it is a central aspect of atheism to celebrate common humanity and bring people together to encourage people to find common ground, which is interesting in boilerplate language, but check this out.
Okay.
In the lawsuit, as part of the exhibits that go along with the lawsuit, there were like dozens, more than a dozen exhibits they attached, like articles saying, here's why eclipses have a religious connotation or something like that. This guy included declarations. You could read declarations from all 6 plaintiffs saying, this is why the eclipse is meaningful to me as a blank.
Okay.
So I read Jeremy's declaration as an atheist. It was really long. It's like 3 pages long, like type 12 font, double space sort of thing. Mm. And it was actually really interesting to read. Let me read you some of what he wrote. I believe that by celebrating the curiosity behind discoveries like astrophysics and the ability to know precisely when an eclipse will occur, we can inspire even more penetrating inquiries. Mm. Elsewhere, he says, every religion worthy of the name originated in a single individual becoming aware of some greater part of reality than their contemporaries were capable of perceiving. Wow. The most effective way to identify the areas of darkness we most need to explore, to disseminate awareness of how to enlighten them quickly, is to bring as many people as possible together who have exercised their faith not in the same way, but in different ways. Mm. Then he says, the eclipse I seek to observe with others is fleeting. Mm. An event that will be gone in a cosmic instant, barely measurable against infinite time. Jesus. But that same fleetingness makes it valuable in as large a degree as its duration is brief.
Wow!
Moments when people of vastly different faiths converge in a single shared joy are exceedingly rare. The price of missing any is unknowable, but substantial by any measure. This goes on for three pages.
Holy shit.
Yeah, it was really interesting.
Is he
to
in
read.
Jail for plagiarism? Did he plagiarize all that?
I'll answer your question, but
I feel like
you don't want my answer to this question. Let's just say he should be in jail. So, but going back, it's irrelevant though.
I know it's irrelevant, but I'm curious.
Sexual assault.
God damn it. You motherfucker.
Going on.
Man.
The thing is, this point that he made is echoed by the five other plaintiffs who say, for example, the eclipse is a chance to pray like the prophet Muhammad did because he apparently saw an eclipse. Mm. Or to experience what Jesus saw before getting crucified. Because
did he see an eclipse?
That is apparently what some interpretations say. Or necessary to cause, I'm just going to quote this because I don't know what it means, necessary to cause the, quote, vibrations of the orishas to bless those who pray and chant. Now, whether you believe any of that stuff, it doesn't matter.
No.
But these six men are all saying their sincerely held religious beliefs require them to see the eclipse, and therefore the jails must accommodate them.
And one of them was Christian, right? Or at least one of them? Because I thought you saw Jesus.
One of them is Christian. One of them is Muslim. Two of them are Muslim. Two of them practice Santeria. Don't sing it. And then...
You saw it in my eyes!
I saw it in your eyes.
He saw the music notes in my eyes!
And then you have Zelensky, who's an atheist. And here's the thing. Zelensky's story is interesting in this case because apparently in January of this year, he requested this opportunity to watch the eclipse.
Wow.
And he was told, well, first we need to recognize atheism as an official religion. That could take us 4 months. And that's after the eclipse.
Well, time is a little of the essence here, bud.
And so, honestly, they quickly... I was also weirded out because I'm like, why aren't they recognizing atheism as a religion? The Federal Department of Corrections recognizes atheism as a religion. So why didn't they? But whatever. They quickly gave him that confirmation. They said, we'll even give you special glasses to wear during the eclipse. So problem solved.
Yeah.
But when he asked to watch the eclipse with his buddies, I don't know if they're friends, but his peers in the correctional facility.
Commune together.
Then the whole Department of Corrections for the state of New York issued a lockdown order for all prisons from 2 to 5 on Monday. Basically, they're saying we don't want all these prisoners outside when there's total darkness.
Does it really get that dark? I can't remember.
That was kind of one question I had. Does it get totally dark? And the thing is, and this is what is said in the lawsuit, or at least in articles about the lawsuit, like the last time there was an eclipse, or at least a partial eclipse, they didn't do anything like this. Also, the sun sets every day and there are prisoners outside and it gets dark and you have protocols to handle that.
Yeah.
What is so hard about dealing with prisoners outside during an eclipse that you can't do? They're not saying send us outside where all the other people are at.
Right.
They're
like saying, we don't have to climb a mountain.
We
want
to go to the jail yard so we can watch the eclipse. So they're arguing that by not allowing them to do this, they have a religious right to do it. It's violating the Religious Land Use and Institutionalized Persons Act. It's basically the religious freedom law that applies to people in jail.
Uh-huh.
For example, when another inmate, one of the Christian ones, a Baptist, when he said he wanted to see the eclipse, he was told, no, you're not allowed to because, according to the prison, the solar eclipse is not a recorded holy day for Baptists in the facility's calendar. So, unless it's Christmas or Easter, you don't get to celebrate a Christian thing.
So, I guess what we are sort of discovering here is that there are human rights that are not captured under religious rights. I guess the conversation, I think, should be, this is not once in a lifetime, but once every whatever. Should this be considered a human
to see the eclipse?
Yeah, is there anything more human than, oh my God, the sun's doing a fucking thing?
I don't know. I don't know.
And I don't know the answer to it, but it is an interesting kind of philosophical question of if something is important to me but not part of my religion, why is it more, you know what I mean? Why does this matter?
If they just said this is important to me, I think the prison could say, no one cares what's important to you. You're in jail. We set the rules. You don't get to override that.
Right.
And their argument is, but it's our religion, so you have to accommodate it. And now I think this is an open and interesting question of, is the jail allowed to say, is the Department of Corrections in New York allowed to say, well, we were going to say no to most of you because we don't think you're sincerely doing any of this. You're not, it's not really part of your religion. You right. just want to, and you don't get to do whatever you want.
Right.
But when you say it's your religion, can they really say it's about safety when you guys let prisoners in the dark?
Sure. It's,
you have ways of making sure everything is safe
I
for
guess
people.
My big question at this point is why are they digging their heels in on
why
this?
Why is the jail digging their heels
yeah,
on this?
Yeah, and also, because I'm genuinely wondering if just like one person made a decision, an executive decision,
yep.
and then everybody was like, I mean, we can't, like, people have a real bad time trying to say, oh, I was wrong, or oh, I changed my mind. So I'm genuinely wondering if like one higher up dude was like, no.
Could have been,
and everyone's
but
like, all right, fucking figure out a reason.
But
dorks.
It's the policy for the prison. And so the only way to override this now.
For
now
a
it is
prison?
For New York. And now the only way to override it is through a lawsuit. So they got to get this resolved over the weekend or something, because otherwise it'll be too late. So they got to act on this. And I'm curious if they'll get away with the it's our religion and we say it's our religion, because that works in the federal court system all the time now.
Truly.
You can do whatever you want and say it's because of your faith, and the Supreme Court's letting you get away with it. So in here, in prison, if they say it's my religious right, and prisons do have to accommodate religious, like yeah. reasonable religious accommodations,
yeah.
does this count? By the way, I have seen some criticism online where people said, who cares what they want? They're prisoners. If they wanted to see the eclipse, they shouldn't have done
that
the crimes.
That is a very dangerous road to walk down.
Which is a dangerous road to walk down. They are in prison. Mm-hmm. They are paying for mm-hmm. their crimes, and they still have rights, and that includes the right to practice their faith. And mm-hmm. if the government officials want to get in the way of that, they legally have to have a damn good reason
yeah.
to do it. And that is why, that's why the nature of their crimes is irrelevant to the story. It's about who gets to decide what matters to these guys. Can the prison set a rule that mm-hmm. might violate their faith? Or do the prisoners get to say, but it's our religion and we believe it? And does the court system have to say, yeah, well, then you get to do what you want?
Well, and I wonder if this is eventually going to be the thing that maybe, I mean, it's not, but it could be the thing that kind of makes that house of cards crumble a little bit of like, well, we like y'all can do fucking anything on behalf of your religion. And we ask to go outside for 20 minutes. And that's like too much accommodation.
Yeah.
And you said this is, could you one more time go over the timeline? So January, he asks.
The atheist asked for it. He got the
January.
Exemption. He was told, yeah, you can see the eclipse. We'll give you glasses to do it. You're allowed to do it. When his religious buddies started doing it, and more of them.
And they said, we want to be in on this,
we
too.
We want to be in on this, too.
And they're like, actually, no.
And then I think what they realize is, oh, shit, there's a lot of prisoners who want to see the eclipse. So they just issued a blanket, no one gets to see the eclipse. We're just going to do a lockdown order that says all
very
the prisons
American of them.
Are shut down between 2 and 5. And by the way, in that same order, they said, but for staffers, we have glasses for you.
Oh, go fuck yourself. Are you kidding?
The department will provide solar
who's
eclipse
be fucking
safety
watching
glasses.
All these dangerous prisoners if y'all are like staring up at the dumb sky.
Let me read you the actual statement.
Fine.
This is in that same order. The department will provide solar eclipse safety glasses for its staff and inmates in case they can view the eclipse from their assigned work location or housing units. So if you could see the eclipse
wow.
from the bars of your cell, we'll give you glasses if you want to
like
see
a
it.
Ray
but if you want to
short
step
story,
outside
I swear,
in the yard.
This is literally a Ray Bradbury short story. The one where it like is only sunny for 2 hours every 7 years. That literally is how this feels to me. Of, I don't know. Do you think that there are global events, natural or otherwise, that people have a right to bear witness to?
Like, don't have a good answer for you.
I don't either. And I, because for some reason, I'm
there was
thinking
a partial eclipse, by the way, in 2017.
Mm-hmm.
And they said the New
that.
York prison system did not issue a lockdown order at that time. If you want to argue, well, it's a total eclipse this time, so they're allowed to. It's a different thing, whatever.
Yeah. I mean, they're making it up as we go along, so we
they
can
are.
Too.
They're.
I know, like just thinking about things like, you know, if they're in Florida, you know, Cape Canaveral is right there. If a rocket launch is happening, do
yeah,
they
do you have to see that?
Because I'll tell you, when I was a kid, my dad drove us out there because that was to him like a very fundamental, I don't know if it was American or humanity thing of like, we're going to watch a fucking rocket ship. And I remember it. This would have been 91, 92. I was 6 or 7. I don't
yeah,
know.
That's
do
a fair
you
question
think
of
that,
I don't know what you can argue this is my religion requires me to participate in this global human event.
Well, I'm not even global. Just for our conversation, mm-hmm. I don't even think religion thing. Like, are there events in humanity, like a coronation, or I guess that's passé, but like, mm-hmm. you know, just are there things that we as human beings have right to bear witness
have
to?
A right to? No. No.
I guess not. Anyway, I think that's an interesting... I feel like I'm going to get stoned and really sit on that for a while later.
I feel like they will accommodate the religious request, the religious exemption, and let them do it.
The six of them?
The six of them. I don't know if it's going to be all standing. You can't have a lockdown sort of thing. I don't think the courts want to do that. But I don't know how they're going to rule, and I'm very curious to see how that plays out. Hmm. Let me jump to a different story. This is out of Mississippi, so you know it's going to work out well.
Start a chat thread about what inalienable human rights are in terms of witnessing historical events. I'm happy to be in that chat. I want to be a part of that.
So in Mississippi, Aberdeen, Mississippi is now home to a giant Christian cross.
Oh, I've heard about this cross.
It's the 14th giant cross in the state, according to the group that was behind this one. Guess how much it cost? They raised the money for it.
$20,000.
More. One more guess.
$80,000.
$240,000. They spent 3 years raising the money, and now they have it. It's 120 feet tall. And there you go.
Where in Texas is this?
Mississippi. Mississippi. This is in Aberdeen, but there are 14 of them across the state. And this is now the 20th cross that the guy who's making this one has made.
Oh, good.
And that means if there are 20 crosses and there are $240,000 apiece, that's $4.8 million spent on structures mm-hmm. that are 120 feet tall, mm-hmm. 64 feet wide, mm-hmm. 0% useful. Mm-hmm. It's all legal. They're raising the money on their own. They're not getting government money for this. It is stupid. So here's the questions I have about this.
Yeah.
Why are these people deluded enough to think that the one thing lacking in Mississippi is a symbol of Christianity? It's the most religious state in the country. Mm-hmm. You're doing fine mm-hmm. in this one aspect and zero others. Mm-hmm. How seriously should anyone take the faith of someone who converted because they saw a giant cross on the side of a highway?
You don't know.
I don't know. Why are elected officials involved in promoting this? Because that did happen. In this case, the cross was, according to their website or something, it was a dream of the Monroe County Sheriff and Mississippi Northern District Public Service Commissioner.
This is a worse dream than Martin Luther's King dream and Cinderella's dream.
Yeah, a different cross was endorsed by a sheriff who was literally on the cross project committee. The constructor of this cross.
Yep.
He spoke a couple of years ago and when he put up like another one of these, I think number 10, mm-hmm. and they asked him, is it really worth $240,000? And he said, that is a lot of money to spend on a cross just for people to drive by and look at. I tell them, yes, it is. But if one person drives down Highway 45 and looks at this cross and thinks about what Jesus did for him, and he has a conversion moment, it's worth every penny.
I mean, that's not very good ROI is the thing. I feel like he could use his marketing budget much better. How tall did you say this particular one is?
120, is that what I said?
Yep. All right, in your stupid face, I drove past the 190-foot tall one east of Amarillo
and that's why you're a Christian now.
And that's why I am a Christian to this very day.
Here's the thing, though. If the goal is we want people to reflect on Jesus and maybe convert... If you spent $240,000 to help a children's hospital...
If you bought me a house, I would convert to Christianity.
There you go.
Thank you.
Like if they spent it on helping the poor or a children's hospital, I feel like that would just stamp Jesus' name on the side of it. You would probably get more ROI than you would with this.
And also, isn't that a big thing that Jesus said is like, you're not worshiping objects, you're... Like
don't worship false idols like a giant cross.
Yeah, like you're the way you show
the
Christ,
weapon that killed me.
I feel like just like Jesus kind of had a thing of like, hey, like the way
these
you're going to spread
don't care
my
about Jesus.
Spread my message is like by being cool with people and like anybody who prays is in a church or stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah,
I guess
no.
I guess I don't think
that's in the sticky pages of the Bible that you cannot read anymore. By the way, the same constructor, chef's kiss quotation in the recent articles about cross number 14. Mm. everywhere you look, people say Mississippi is number 49 or number 50 in this and that. We're number one in the number of crosses in just one state. That is a real thing this guy said.
Oh, no.
It's number one.
He didn't even say how many crosses that was.
Well, 14 on his end in the state. But it's number one in massive idols representing.
Oh, massive crosses, he meant. I was going to say, I feel like counting crosses
Number one in massive idols representing a religion that actively makes people's lives worse. By the way, I looked this up. In Aberdeen specifically, the site of cross number 14, the median household income is just under $50,000, and about 21% of the population lives below the poverty line. And yet they scrounge together $240,000 for this.
It's a prosperity gospel, right?
And then Mississippi wonders why they're suffering brain drain. By the way, the funniest thing about this, I was watching news coverage, local news coverage of this cross, because you know they had a reporter on site to discuss it.
This is the biggest thing that's happened in Mississippi
in years. I want you to come
look
at this, walk around, look at this picture I'm showing you, because I'm showing you a screenshot of this cross going up. They haven't fully constructed it, and I circled something next to it. Can you read what it says?
It's a dispensary!
There is an ad in the ground near the cross for a dispensary.
Yeah, it's 420, baby.
Yeah.
It's Easter next year.
So, of course, I'm like, what dispensary is that? And I looked it up and I found it.
Is weed legal in Mississippi, or is it one of those like CBD dispensaries?
It might be the latter.
Yeah.
But I looked up their Facebook page and they were like very excited about this raised cross. And they're like, so happy to be part of a cross raising, honoring Jesus and that he died for all of us so we could spend eternity with him. And one of the comments under that page said that they had video of the cross going up because it's being constructed. A commenter said, that was so cool to watch. Can't wait for 420.
I mean, it's a national holiday. What can I say?
There
I mean,
go.
I think he means 420 next year when it's Easter. I think that's what he meant. You're confused again,
Hammett.
Oh, boy. What a dumb use of time and money.
Mississippi, man.
And resources.
I do have a million other stories, but I did want to make sure I covered one in particular. And it involves this guy named Andrew Womack. He is a Christian nationalist preacher. And the last time we talked about him, I think, on this podcast is because members of his ministry took over a local school board. Like, they all decided the handful of us are going to run for these spots, and we're going to get everyone in our ministry to vote for them who lives in the community.
Smallish towns, that's pretty easy.
That's exactly it. And it worked. And they got the majority of seats, and the community is now feeling the devastating consequences of what happens when you let crazy people take over a local school district.
Oh, God, what happened?
I mean, they just changed the curriculum. Teachers are leaving left and right because they don't want to deal with this. I mean, it is bad. But I'm not even talking about that. Like, that is what happened in 2021, I believe.
All right.
Is that when they took over? I need to double check when they took over. But they may have taken over later than that. But that became news in 2023, like middle of 2023. But the thing is, in 2021, Andrew Womack told the members of his like political group that with all the conservatives in their part of Colorado, quote, we ought to take over Woodland Park. Like, he said the word take over. We could take over this place. Okay.
Okay.
And in 2022,
he's a public school.
That was a public school district, but that wasn't the end goal.
Okay.
He wanted to take over everything in that community.
Oh, God.
He also said in 2022 that out of 178 local races in which his ministry was backing a candidate, basically, he got 78 or 80 of them elected. And I don't know if that's true or not, but like that was what he said.
Okay.
In terms of the school district, to answer your question, what did they do when they took over? They adopted a conservative social studies curriculum called American Birthright that basically focuses on American exceptionalism and whitewashes all the bad stuff. It says federal government shouldn't have any authority over public schools, that teachers should avoid teaching current events and media literacy. It says telling kids
media literacy.
Yep, it says telling kids to vote amounts to activism. By the way, American Birthright, according to NBC News, includes Bill Clinton's impeachment, but not Donald Trump's. It was so bad.
Oh my God, really?
Yeah.
Sorry, it took me a second.
Colorado school board actually sent out a whole thing to schools saying, we deem this curriculum unfit for students and we reject it as extreme. Like, none of y'all should adopt this.
Wow.
They also said adopting it would have, quote, damaging and lasting effects on the civic knowledge of students and their capacity to engage in civic reasoning and deliberation.
Mm-hmm.
And then the WAMAC school board approved it anyway.
Wow.
And then they added prayer to their board meetings.
I'm sorry, who was
this that was... This is the...
Who said not to take it?
The state school board said, don't do this.
Oh, my God.
They also, the board president, he added Christian prayers to the meetings.
Sure.
They used their official board email addresses to proselytize, invite fellow members of the board to join the church. The board approved a charter school without informing the public in advance, which is a thing they had to do. Then they fired teachers who criticized them publicly. Oh, by the way, their newly hired superintendent that they chose, he decided not to apply for $1.2 million worth of grants that they had gotten in the past that previously covered the salaries of 15 counselors and social workers.
Oh,
he's
so
like, we don't need that money anymore.
Kids have no problems.
Why? Because he wants to focus on academics, not emotions.
Oh, these people are so
as if you can
stupid.
Have academics without proper, like, mental health.
These people are just out of their mind.
By the way, 40% of the high school's professional staff left.
40?
40. 40.
Jesus.
By the way, and in November, there was a school board election last November after all this had happened. So it's like, there's a chance for three progressives to oust the Christian majority.
I can't imagine that.
Did not pull it off. Two of the conservative Christians retained their seats. Only one progressive won. Conservatives, the WAMAC conservatives, they still control the school board. So with that in mind, there was an article in the Colorado Times Recorder, and I got to give this guy credit, Logan Davis, wrote this large piece about how Woodland Park's city council is having elections soon. And Andrew WAMAC's people, one, they are running for those seats. Mm. They want to take over this board. And they're not saying they're connected to Andrew WAMAC.
Oh,
like,
boy.
They know the backlash against this ministry is big. So, for example, there are seven members of the city council, including the mayor. Five of those seats were on the ballot. You just got to win four of them, right?
Mm.
And what's interesting, and this is what Logan Davis figured out, is they're trying really hard to hide the connection. Okay, so for example,
that's so
three of the four candidates, the WAMAC-aligned candidates, they were students or employees at Andrew WAMAC's organization.
Mm.
The fourth has close ties to members of those organizations. Mm. For example, there's a guy named Don DeZellum. He ran for this seat 2 years ago and he lost. And he said at the time, he has nothing to do with WAMAC. But that's not true. This is from the article. He does, however, have close ties to this guy's ministry.
Mm.
To a graduate and current councilman with whom he has promoted a series of Patriot Academy classes. That's a far-right academy. There's another candidate, Eric Lockman. He and his wife attended Charis Bible College, which is run by Andrew WAMAC. His bio, the city has a page where it says these are the candidates for city council. His bio says he serves as the director of operations at his local church. Does not mention
to be named later.
Does not mention the name of the church, which is affiliated with Andrew WAMAC. Another guy, Tim Northrup.
Wow.
He literally works for Andrew WAMAC's ministry in the call center. He's been doing that for 5 years. None of that comes up in his bio. He also went to Charis Bible College. There's another guy, one incumbent. He's on the board running for re-election, Frank Connors. His wife was a student at that Bible college, and he promotes the school and WAMAC's ministry online.
Mm.
But you will not find any mention of those institutions on their official bios.
Mm.
So here's the thing. They're trying. They have four candidates, and you can only, you as a voter, could vote for four people. They are saying to their ministry, not Andrew WAMAC from the pulpit, but through whisper networks saying, these are our people, vote for them. That's what's going on here.
Mm-hmm.
And so this was the fear. Like, WAMAC's church cannot endorse candidates unless he wanted to break the IRS rules or something, which some churches have done.
And will continue to do.
But when you have a big ministry and you know, these are our guys, wink, wink, go vote for them. That was the fear. And the worry is, according to one person, a WAMAC-aligned council majority would continue granting this ministry property tax exemptions for their planned expansions, placing increasing strains on local service. That's one thing that could happen. There is another worry that, like, what about policies that help people with disabilities or people who are in need of mental health care?
Should
are they
going to
fund any of that stuff? We see what happens even in local governments when conservatives are in charge of the purse. Mm-hmm. So that was the fear. Well, that election was on Tuesday of this week. And so I was like, on Tuesday, they had some primaries and stuff. Like, this is the one I was paying attention to. Mm-hmm. And I was waiting. And it took hours after polls closed for the city to announce anything. Mm. But they announced it. All four of the WAMAC-aligned candidates lost.
No.
All four of them. Like, for example...
Are you serious?
The four top vote-getters got, like, 1,700 or 1,800 votes apiece. All four of the WAMAC people...
Combined?
Together, they each got about 1,100 votes apiece. Which means people were voting for a slate of candidates for it to be this close... You know what I mean? Yeah. They were not picking and choosing out of a slate of eight.
Oh, so it was like either they voted for these four people,
the
all
WAMAC
of them,
people, all of them, or they voted against the WAMAC people.
And they just didn't get enough of the
And the WAMAC
share,
people
the
did not get enough of the share. And the four people who won were the ones who were not aligned with the WAMAC. So it's like...
And so what does that leave us in terms of ratio? So there's four...
What it means is that... The city council is in safe hands.
Okay.
That's what it comes down to. And in fact, one of those guys who was an incumbent, he lost. So, like, that is huge news.
That's very big.
It seems like the voters in the city, and again, for a city council election, those are low turnout races, but
they really are
this time. And again, I don't know why they were so informed, but they were. So I'm giving credit to Logan Davis, who wrote that article, because he's raising the concern. That's the power of local reporting right there.
He moved the needle, too, sure.
I don't know if that's the reason, but my heart wants to say that's the reason why. Now the question is how WAMAC will respond, because officially they've said nothing.
Yeah.
Because, of course, there was nothing going on, wink, wink. So I don't know what happens. Is he going to give up on this, or is he just going to go at it again next time?
I love this.
But that was a happy story.
Can I tell you a little personal anecdote from my own life? So the other day, Mikey and I wanted to get barbecue. We haven't really found a good barbecue place around us. And a Mission barbecue opened across Route 59 from us.
Nothing to me.
Mission barbecue is a barbecue place. And they put up... a real big American flag. And also they have like a tactical vehicle parked outside, but it's very close. And so we were like, should we go there? And I went to their website and I was like, uh-oh, this doesn't look great. Cause it's Mission Barbecue, subtitled the American way. And then I clicked on our story. Please give me 45 seconds to read this whole thing. It's amazing. Mission Barbecue opened its doors for business on September 11th, 2011. 10 years after our world changed forever, in some way, we wanted to change it back. So founders of Mission Barbecue, we strive every day to remind everybody what makes our country, capital O, capital C, great. It's heroes. Who are we? Two friends, passionate barbecue, patriotic for our country, again, caps, who believed in running a bold business with meaning and purpose. We believe there's nothing more American than barbecue, and nobody more American than the brave men and women who've sworn to protect and serve our communities and our country. Capital O, capital C. We do what we do for the love of our soldiers, firefighters, police officers, first responders, all of our loved ones in service. Every day, which it's just...
I don't do recipes online, but I've heard the annoying thing about them is I want a recipe. Well, I don't need your story.
That's SEO. That's Google fucking up again.
Sure. But like, I don't need your 300-word, 3,000-word story about how it's like, this is my family's secret recipe. And like, just tell me what to mix.
Yeah, just tell me what we're doing. I just want to read one more little paragraph because it's... a club banger. Every day we strive to serve you authentic barbecue made from the freshest, most delectable ingredients and serve it to you in a patriotic dining room filled with tributes to those who have made our country, capital O, capital C, great, given to us by the people who earned them. Stop by at lunchtime and you might catch us during our daily salute to the Stars and Stripes.
Oh my God.
They do the Pledge of Allegiance every day. According to my friend Lauren, the one in Kentucky used to play the national anthem every morning at opening.
Jesus. I just want food. I don't want their food, but I'm just saying, if I go to a place to eat, just give me the damn food.
I mean, listen, I was always really wary of it because of the giant American flag that went up, which was only dwarfed by the Bell Tires giant American flag that's even closer to my house now. So I have two huge flags immediately outside my window. Anyway, it was just truly one of the wildest journeys I've been on emotionally in quite some time. I just really liked the during our daily salute to the Stars and Stripes.
Just cook your food.
I mean, just give me some barbecue and don't charge me $85 for a piece of cornbread and we'll be fine.
What are we talking about in the bonus?
I'm going to talk a little bit about my Bloomington trip. I do owe everybody a huge apology because there's miscommunication. The tickets, they bought tickets for the early show and some late show.
This is why I don't hang out with people.
Yeah, I know. It was stressful, but it's fine. We saw Sarah Sherman, outstanding. I finally watched the Mother God documentary.
Okay.
You watched it. Do you remember which one I'm talking about?
No idea.
The one with the woman who drank herself to death with colloidal silver?
No idea.
You talked to me about, guys, you know he talked to me about this. Maybe you didn't.
Go on.
Anyway, I watched that. I wanted to talk to you about it. I read a book called Check and Mate, which is an outstanding like YA kind of romance-y novel by Ellie Hazelwood, whom I adore. And I already talked about Mission Barbecue. That was supposed to be a bonus episode thing, but just the spirit moved me to share it with our followers.
And I will talk about how I am going to injure myself this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
All right. You know where to find us at patreon.com/friendlyatheistpodcast to support the show. And we will see you next week.
Mm-hmm. Bye.